And you are listening to FOW Radio, FOW Live, here on the Podbean app. I am Patrick, your host. With me, Danny Danger. Danny, how are you this evening?
Hey, we're doing good. We're doing good. You know, the road to SummerSlam is amongst us, as well as many other roads traveled. But I think the wrestling world is going well.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the summer is, in, as they say, en fuego. Lots going on. I mean, we got Forbidden Door. We got Collision starting up soon. We have Money in the Bank in London. Yeah, SCI is in July for the first time ever after, you know, usually being in the August dates. The G1 back to four blocks, as we found out this past weekend. And yeah, lots to unload here. So, well, Eric's not here yet. We can kind of start talking about what's transpiring over in the Far East and in Japan with New Japan Pro Wrestling and the G1 Climax, because you know it's a big one. I mean, the participants were announced a few weeks ago, and we all wondered, you know, about the type of matchups we would get, and you know, and finally announced the blocks. So interesting here. Not only did they announce the blocks, but they went ahead and announced the entire schedule, which already got me, you know, looking forward to some matchups. But here are the blocks. Again, we got four blocks as last year. Block A: Sanada, Chase Owens, Hikuleo, Rey Narita, Shota Umino, Jota Tsuji, Gabe Kidd, Kaito Kiyomiya, and B block.
I mean, block A is pretty much like Block A is pretty much like the Young Lion block, is what it's looking like. Like, it's, they're not Young Lions now, but all those guys were Young Lions just within the last few years. So it's kind of like the future, you know, of New Japan. Plus Kaito Kiyomiya, who's hoping to, you know, beat the crap out of a bunch of New Japan guys and maybe be able to find his way to Okada somewhere in towards the finals.
Yeah. B block: Okada, Yoshihashi, Taishi, Kenta, Great Okan, Will Ospreay, Tangaloa, and ELP.
Well, it's good to see Tangaloa back, finally back from his injury. You know, we'll once again get to see Will Ospreay versus Okada, this time in the G1. You know, that's pretty much been one of those elusive opponents that Ospreay's never been able to beat. And, you know, he tried, even at Wrestle Kingdom, he was not able to do it. The only time he did it in the G1 was when Great Okan debuted and the United Empire initially formed. Great Okan interfered. And Ospreay continued and capitalized and put him away. So that's probably one of the bigger matchups in that block. Definitely, you know, it's the former Wrestle Kingdom return match, that kind of thing. So I think that's probably the one that most people are going to be looking at to see, you know, those two guys are probably the block leaders that most people would suspect just when you see it on paper.
Yeah, no, for sure. C block, we got David Finley, Tomohiro Ishii, Evil, Tama Tonga, Shingo Takagi, Aaron Hinare, Eddie Kingston, and Mikey Nichols.
That's the brawler block. That's the bruisers. Yes. Shingo, Ishii, Hinare. It's the hard hitting guys. You know, they're just gonna. They're Eddie Kingston. You know, I mean, that's Eddie Kingston style. That's what he wants to do too. You know, he's. He's talked and wished that one day he could make it to the G1. This is his time, and he gets in there with all the hard-hitting boys. He's going to have a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the strong style. All right, and in D block, Tanahashi, Naito, Goto, Saxon Jr., Yano, Jeff Cobb, Shane Haste, and Alex Coffin.
That one to me is a little bit more of a mixed bag. You have a lot of different styles in there. Faction mates will be in there against each other as well. Haste and Zack Sabre Jr. I think most people would say that's probably, Zack could be the one to take that block. And one of the things that they changed the rules on this year is rather than the usual 30-minute time limit for matches, there's only a 20-minute time limit for all block matches. So that's going to kind of force guys to work a little bit faster to try to get their wins. It could lead to where we end up getting several draws, and those, costly draws could edge people out of the finals.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when it comes to the New Japan a lot happens. So many matches to look forward to. Just looking at the schedule, of course, we begin July 15th. But man, what I'm looking forward to right now, starting B block on the 15th, Taishi versus Ospreay, some matches that looks really fun. July 16th, Shingo versus Kingston. I mean,
of course,
we're starting hot over here with those two. Then, D block, we're going to have Tanahashi, Zack Sabre Jr. That's going to be a great match. Then you look at the future of New Japan, Ren Narita versus Yota Tsuji is going to be another good one.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking at them and now July 19th, Eddie Kingston versus Evil, another hard hitting match.
Yeah.
It's gonna be fun to watch. D blocks on the 19th, this is not necessarily a match I'm looking forward to, but Saxon Jr. has his history with Yano. Yano has ways to mess with Saxon Jr. So that's gonna pay out. That's gonna be entertaining for those who have enjoyed Yano's antics and stuff. So that's gonna be fun. July 21st, Okada versus Taishi. I mean, we've seen the rise of Taishi over the last couple of years. And now, here facing Okada, Ospreay versus Kenta is going to be another fun one that night. Shingo versus Ishii, July 23rd. That was going to be a hard-hitting affair right there. It's going to be nice. Kenta versus Taishi on July 25th is another match that's really got me excited. Ishii versus Kingston on July 26th at Corken Hall. That's got to be a dream for Kingston right there.
Yeah, to be there in Corken, yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, this for the D-Block, Sabre Jr. versus Jeff Cobb. Those two have been having battles with each other this past year, facing off once more here at, in the G1. And so we're just looking down. I mean, there's so many great matches still left that going through that I really can't wait to see. But I mean, it's gonna be quite the. The tournament this year.
Yeah. Well, and the G1 always, provides a lot of good matches. It always provides, star making opportunities for people, even if they don't win the block, one or two big wins over key players can elevate somebody's status within the company very quickly. And so, that's one of the things that the G1 brings too. And of course, you have your champions in there. If you, beat a champion in the G1, you've technically defeated that champion and you can stake your claim at a possible title shot down the line. So we could, you know, that's always a thing too. You know, yeah, you don't win your block, but you get that key win over a champion, and now you find yourself in a title match at a big show. You know, you win that title, and you, and your career continues to elevate from there.
Yeah. Of course, all that leads, you know, the matches are going to go through August 9th, which, by the way, Tanahashi versus Naito, that's going to be another classic. Between those two. But after that, once the ninth happens, I said we're done with the matches, and then we go to where you'll have first place of A block face off against second place of C block, first place of B block versus second place of D block, C block's first place versus B block's second place, and D block's first place, which is A block, second place, in quarterfinal matches. Then we'll have the semifinals where, you know, the quarterfinals 1 and 2 face each other, quarterfinals 3 and 4 face each other. And then from there, the semifinals winners will lead to the winners on August the 13th at Rigaku Sumo Hall. So
yeah, they're doing this. Yeah, and they're also doing like they did in this year's Best of Super Juniors, where not only the block winner makes it into the finals, but the second place point getter in the block also makes it into the finals. So, you know, similar to what we saw from the G1. You know, Master Wato did not win his block, but he ended up winning Best of Super Juniors because he was the second place person. He made it into the finals, and he won the finals. So it's very possible you could have that with the G1 as well this year.
Right. So lots more startup July 15th. And, yeah, it's going to be quite a ride. So speaking of New Japan Pro Wrestling, looks like a couple of challenges have been made for the Forbidden Door. Sanada issued an open challenge to defend his IWGP World Heavyweight title, and Jack Perry has accepted this challenge. So it looks like we may be getting Sanada versus Jack Perry at Forbidden Door. And then it was announced Tanahashi will be coming, and he actually challenged MJF for the AEW World Heavyweight title, but of course he refused. So TBD on that, I guess. But
yeah,
assuming somehow we still will get the match Tanahashi versus MJF.
They're just going to draw it out, man. Just draw it out. Yeah.
The Forbidden Door. Yeah. So, what do you think of those two matches?
Well, I mean, matches added in, but, you know, because we talked about last week, Omega Ospreay and Okada Danielson. You know, as far as I know, if tickets were already sold out or pretty close to sold out before those matches were announced. I would say Tanahashi MJF probably would interest a lot of people. Jungle Boy challenging for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship does not really interest me. definitely don't see him as a viable top player. Tanahashi,
he's got a catchy song.
I know that they probably pay a lot of royalty rights for, and his dad was a teen idol, kind of. But he when he was like 30, I mean, cool, elevate your guys, but at the same time, like, they're giving you Tanahashi for your top title, and you're giving them, you know, your mid carder for their top title. It doesn't seem like a fair trade.
Sir, he is one of the four pillars.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, pretty much whatever that means.
It's not interesting me at all. I'll catch Danielson Okada on YouTube.
Well, I mean, not to say that they don't have to put great programming, but at the same time, the show sold out. So how much more do they really need to invest in it?
Well, it's all about getting pay-per-view buys at this point now. That's the thing, because you remember that they're still on traditional pay-per-view. So where WWE Network already has your money because you gave them your money for the entire month, they still have to talk you into paying, you know, $50, $60 to watch that one event.
Stupid.
That's true.
Why did we ever pay that much to watch a wrestling show?
I know. Just sit on your couch and watch it, no less. Goodness gracious.
I know, right?
Back in my day, right. $29.99 for WCW Road Wild, baby.
I swear to God, that's just going to be like a running gag at this point. It's just Road Wild.
Fucking Road Wild, baby. And Sturgis.
Vroom, vroom.
Idaho, right?
Yeah. No, Dakota. North Dakota. South Dakota.
I thought it was South Dakota. Come on, get your Dakotas right.
They're just kind of one state. They're just one really big state. They decided to put a little line. Yeah. The Dakotas.
It's in the Dakotas. Yeah, so MJF and Adam Cole win 30-minute draw tonight.
Woohoo.
No extra 5 minutes or anything.
No, because the heel's going to decline that. Yeah. To him, it's a successful defense. The match ended. He walks away with his title. Why does he want to continue to risk it?
I don't know. I was expecting an authority figure like Tony Khan to come out and say, no, we're doing 5 more minutes.
No, Tony Khan only comes out when he has an announcement.
Yeah, when he has a very important announcement.
I have an announcement. This match is going to be 5 more minutes.
He doesn't get involved in the matchmaking. Like, you know, that's a WWE thing, brother.
Yeah, that's
too. We don't copy the WWE at all.
He only makes announcements that are important, like, you know, Collision's going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina.
In this city. Woo!
So, yeah. Adam Cole looked small and pale. Like,
don't get on the Adam. Don't get on the Adam Cole hate train, okay?
I'm not trying to get in the hate train. I like Adam Cole. All right, calm down. But when I saw him today, he just looked like not tanned. I was expecting him to be more tanned. He used to be more tanned. I swear he used to be more tanned.
Okay, Hogan, calm down.
I know, right?
He just tan up. That's all I gotta say.
Not every skin has to look like leather, okay?
Just saying.
We don't body shame. Use a tan. Here.
All right. Speaking of AEW, EJ Kuda is under contract. He signed with them early this year. Took me a minute to remember who he was. I guess he was in developmental for a hot minute, then got dropped. They went to MLW.
Okay, so that's where he's been for a while, is MLW?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so
here's one of the bigger things that I heard today that was kind of a little shocking to me, is that Jimmy Jacobs apparently finished up with Impact. Now, he was one of the head writers for Impact, and a lot of people attributed, you know, the story success and everything for the last few years with Impact to him. Apparently, he's already been signed to a deal with All Elite Wrestling. He and Danielson are going to be on the creative team together. So What does this mean for the possibility of creative within All Elite Wrestling and within Impact? You know, I mean, hopefully things don't really change too drastically because, yeah, it has been a really good product for several years. Which, you know, now without Jacobs, you know, who was apparently considered kind of the guy who was, you know, it was large in part to his doing that it was going well. You know, that's, I'm a little concerned about Impact. And then also, like, you know, with AEW, you know, everything that we've heard is still that, you know, yeah, there's other guys in creative, but Tony Khan's pretty much the main, like, full veto power. He wants to be the one to hear every single idea and shuffle through them and decide if they're, you know, if they're good enough for his show or whatever. So even if Jacobs is there, you know, how much effect is he going to be able to have if he's got somebody over him who still wants to be in control?
That's crazy, because literally yesterday me and a friend were talking about Jimmy Jacobs and the impact that he, no pun intended.
Mm-hmm. This is just reported by Uncle Dave today that Jimmy Jacobs was seen backstage, and everybody was like, well, what the hell? And then they started doing a little more digging and found all that he had left Impact. And apparently today he was starting with All Elite.
That's insane. Cause literally I was like, Jimmy has a great mind for the business. And that's the reason why Impact stories are so fucking fine. And that AEW needed somebody like Jimmy Jacobs in their creative department. I literally sent those texts yesterday. Holy shit. Damn. That's fucking crazy.
I know, right? Somehow you were reading the future and you didn't even know it.
Damn.
Go buy that lottery ticket.
Don't do that. Gambling. Unless you want to help kids go to college, then go ahead and buy as many lottery tickets as you want. Hope scholarship, fuck baby. Kids.
Fuck them kids.
Give them some hope. Yeah, so apparently, as far as what Dave was writing on his dirty sheets today, was so that Danielson apparently whispers sweet nothings to Tony Khan's ear and he listens to him. And
maybe.
So you know, I mean, obviously if Tony is gonna be smart, he's gonna listen to the talent that he's got around. And yeah, why not listen to Daniel to Brian? Well, he's there and he's, you know, giving him his opinions and his thoughts and ideas on booking and tweaking things. I mean,
and he's not in it just for himself and actually has good ideas for
I'm glad that he's listening to him, and you know, I'm not surprised. I was more surprised that Jimmy Jacobs wasn't already All Elite. But I guess, you know, if he was in the contract with,
I mean, they kind of owed him a job because they, you know, kind of got him fired from WWE. So whenever he needed a job, he probably just had to say, "Okay, guys, I'm calling in that favor." And they go, "Yes, sir, Mr. Jacobs, sir. What would you like to do here, Mr. Jacobs, sir?"
I actually read an article about that yesterday, that Jimmy was talking about that, and he was like, it was one of those days where he just kind of felt like he was done with WWE, and basically he was just being like a problematic child, you know, just like, oh, well, I bet this is going to get me in trouble. So he went,
I got you.
And he didn't intend on posting it. And then he's like, I'm kind of tired of working here. And then he just posted it.
So, okay. So he did it with good intent, with intention, knowing that he was just kind of like, eh, fuck it. If I get fired, I get fired kind of thing.
Yep. 100%. Okay. That was his words. He's like, if I get fired, I get fired.
Yeah.
Maybe AEW will actually have some compelling storylines now.
I mean, like I said, is, you know, it depends on how much reign he has. You know, if everything's got to go through Tony, it's still quote unquote Tony's vision, you know, at this point. Then Jacobs can make suggestions, but Tony's going to do what he's going to want to do. So, yeah, hopefully he listens to the people, to the minds he has, and says, yes, I brought them in because I want their opinion, not because I just, you know, want to hold them so nobody else can have them, kind of thing.
I texted my friend that I was mentioning the Jimmy Jacobs stuff about, and I was like, maybe AEW will actually have some compelling storylines. And he goes, nah.
And I'm like, yeah, probably not. Probably not. We can hope. We can hope that they'll have maybe one, more than one or two good storylines going at any given time.
Hmm. Yeah. Speaking of AEW, did you see
Ryback's tweet today? Well,
about wanting a final match with Goldberg and how it's going to be the greatest, most socially active, etc., etc., etc.
No, where he said that he, if AEW signed him, they would beat WWE in the ratings constantly.
Yeah, no, of course. Everybody tunes in for Ryback. Yeah. I mean, WWE's ratings were off the hizzy when he was there, right? And it was all because of him. Yeah, it was only tuning in for the Ryback. Yeah. That makes 100% sense, yeah. Yeah. No, he's speaking gospel truth there, brother. He knows the business like nobody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, let's see here. So, Collision is this Saturday.
First ever.
I mean, obviously, CM Punk's return. Does it open with CM Punk? A CM Punk promo?
I mean, probably, but they're already.
I was going to say, knowing them, probably. Yeah, and then if it doesn't do well, they'll say, oh, because we put Punker out there.
Well, I mean, it's so shitty because, like, who the fuck wants to sit at home on Saturdays and like, watch wrestling? Like, I get it. Like, I'm sure that there's a select few people, but that shit's going to tank, and then they're going to look at Punk and be like, this is all your fault, dude. Like, I thought you were a big draw. Like, yeah, I am when you don't put me on a death slot.
I mean, let's be honest. Wrestling on a Saturday night was popular when there was no wrestling any other night.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, when there was wrestling no other night. Also, we didn't have the sheer amount of wrestling available to go to watch at any given time. You know, and now you're getting into the summer. So in theory, summer's supposed to be a time when people are out doing things more and later. Because there's sunshine, there's vacations, kids are out of school, you know, all these things. You know, they always kind of attribute differences to viewership and stuff as summer. I mean, that's back in the day. That's why they didn't run any new episodes during summer. They would just give reruns because they knew people weren't sitting at home watching TV as much. I mean, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to, I mean, and yet again, we'll just have to see how it goes and what happens, but it ain't looking strong right off the bat.
I watched AEW because of Punk, and then when they lost him, I stopped paying attention. But I mean, like, I might have shit to do on Saturdays. I can't just, you know.
Yeah, or you might have a wrestling show to go to. There's local wrestling shows that would run on Saturdays and stuff.
And I mean, also, they're going to end up going up against WWE pay-per-views, and I don't necessarily know what the B show is going to look like against the fucking Money in the Bank or SummerSlam or, you know, like, this is a bad idea.
You're right. Yeah, I forgot that Money in the Bank was on a Saturday.
All of WWE's are now. All of their pay-per-views are Saturdays. So any Saturday, they'll be going up against the pay-per-view. And that doesn't seem smart to me.
It's war, brother. Pick a side.
Get kicked out quick.
Yeah. So speaking of compelling television, AEW is bringing us or teasing Jericho versus Sting, first time ever. I guess I didn't realize these two guys have never faced each other in the ring.
I mean, 15, 20 years ago, I would have been excited about it, but both guys How does Jericho look worse in the ring than Sting does? That's the question. I get Sting wears a t-shirt, all that stuff, but Sting's wisely using the tools that are at him, sticking in tag matches and multi-mans. He's not going out there and trying to have 20 and 30 minute singles matches with guys half his age. So Sting still looks like he's this miracle man who doesn't age, because he goes out there and hits a half dozen spots and does some punches and chops. And everybody's like, holy crap, Sting looks awesome. You know, because he's not going out there making him pushing himself harder than he needs to go, like Chris Jericho is.
Get a few punches,
you know,
an Irish whip.
I feel like the few singles. Yeah. And then he maybe dives off the turnbuckles down to you on the down to you and 17 other people on the floor, you know, like
Scorpion death drop, Scorpion deathlock, and call it a night. Five minutes of work, $1 million.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you think about the couple, you know, singles matches that Sting had. They were like the cinematic one, you know, like that one he had with, or no, that was even a tag match. With him Darby. And Darby, right? Against Brian Cage and somebody else whose name I can't remember right now.
I don't remember it either.
Some other big powerful guy, maybe Hobbs or something. But yeah, so even that was like his first match, and that was cinematic just to make sure that they could cut and edit it and make him look the best they could. I mean, Jericho should, I mean, at this point, he should be moving towards that route, I would think. Because physically, it's showing. It's showing his age, and it's making him look bad, and it's one of those things where it's starting to kind of tarnish your legacy a little bit, you know? That's the last remembrance that fans have of you, is a few years of you looking like shit. You know, they're not going to look as fondly on your earlier years.
Yeah. It's honestly taken him down my list. You know, I used to think Jericho was my favorite of all time, but like
he was, that's what I'm saying. A few years of kind of blah stuff at the end, greatly sullies your thought of his whole entire career. You know, I mean, he was in ECW, he was in fucking War, okay, he was in FMW. I mean, he's literally been running since the early 90s, Smoky Mountain Wrestling and shit. Like, you know. He's been doing it so long, had so much great stuff, and, you know, carried WCW's Cruiserweight division. And then, you know, first ever, you know, he beat Stone Cold and The Rock in the same night and all this shit, you know, and just kept going and tag title reign after world championship, intercontinental champion, all this. And he's first ever AEW champion, you know, helping put the brand on the map, you know, bring viewers in and all this. And then the last couple years, he's just kind of sullied so much of that.
Yep. And don't forget, he had a fantastic run as Super Liger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Also had a very expansive career on Dancing with the Stars.
It is true. And he's a best-selling author 3 different times? Yeah.
Yeah. Grammy winner, Grammy nominee or some shit.
Yeah.
For Fozzy and.
Yeah.
His own boat cruise, baby. He's got his own boat.
That makes you legit. So Collision. So somebody, I hope somebody told Andrade that he's booked for that show. He's facing Buddy Matthews, and Miro will also be in the action. So somebody get him out of catering. So I believe that's the last place he was at. He's got to go on the road to Chicago. And face Welcome somebody. To
Chicago, motherfucker.
So, I'm glad to see Andrade back.
I mean, put him on TV. Put him in some good shit. The guy's a good talent.
I don't think
sitting around fucking around isn't. Yeah, I don't know if he wants to be doing anything. Like, my wife makes a lot of money. Can't I just sit at home and fuck around and play in the pool with her old man and stuff?
I think he wants to go back.
It's funny how they pick. It's funny how they picked the perfect time, like both of them return on TV in the same week, or slightly within the same week, right? Because Charlotte returned last Friday to challenge Asuka for the new women's championship.
Like the title, but meh.
And yeah, so we get that. So yeah, we'll see. And Ospreay showed up apparently tonight and attacked Omega. How dare he?
Well, yeah. Omega's afraid to come to fucking Japan. Yeah. So you gotta bring Japan to Omega, brother. Just like Jeff Jarrett did to Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan don't want to come to TNA, so I brought TNA to Hulk Hogan. And then years later, Hulk got his revenge and put the company almost in the ground.
But it's his world.
Yeah. Weedle, weedle,
weedle, weed. Now, on the other side of things, we got Money to Bank to look, 2 weeks, July 1st, from the O2 Arena in London. And the Money in the Bank ladder match for the men has been set. Ricochet versus Shinsuke Nakamura versus LA Knight versus Santos Escobar versus Butch versus Damian Priest.
Knock, knock, Nakamura.
No, this is LA Knight's game. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it could be anybody. I mean, I love everybody on this.
It couldn't be Ricochet.
No, that's some bitch ain't winning shit.
Okay, could be almost everybody.
Butch ain't winning shit.
No. It's gonna be Priest.
Yeah, I think Priest has a pretty good chance at it, but
actually, yeah,
I don't Priest think he's too. Gonna win it.
Especially with
he had such a good, you know, day. Had such a strong match, you know, against Bad Bunny and stuff. Probably. So
had a good match with Seth last week.
Yeah,
and they're teasing the Judgment Day split.
Yeah, like if you win it and then I win it, like you know, you're not gonna cash in on me, right, buddy?
Wink, wink.
Of course not, old buddy, old pal. Wouldn't dream of it.
Yeah. For the women, we got Zelina Vega, Becky Lynch, Zoe Stark, Bayley, Io Sky, and one more person to be determined, I believe, this Friday. I don't know if they announced the match, but yeah, this is Friday. We're going to see the last person being added. So that's gonna be fun. Cody Rhodes versus Dominic Mysterio is been made official. And Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Be gentle with him, Seth.
Yeah.
Maybe if Finn learns how to take a powerbomb properly, he never would have tore his labrum.
I mean, isn't it the same thing that took out Sting?
Yeah.
Old-ass motherfucker didn't learn how to take a powerbomb, right?
That's his fault. Just not into a turnbuckle. That's a little bit different.
Apparently,
okay.
How many times was jarring him during the
He had a longer list of things, and that was kind of like the straw that, but I'm just saying, how many times did Nash drop his ass with a jackknife?
Okay. I don't really actually know the answer to that because I don't.
It's a handful. He knows how to take a powerbomb, is what I'm trying to say. Okay.
Well, I mean, so does Finn, but obviously he was just reaching back for whatever reason, and that's what fucked him up. But Sting has said multiple times that he had a lot of shit going on with his body, and that. The power bomb just kind of jarred it, and it wasn't really Seth's fault.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, at his age, yeah, I do expect there to be a lot wrong with Sting.
I gotta say, like,
especially
that, damn.
Wrestling for like 30 years.
I mean, I love me some Stinger, but dang, I mean, he just.
To be fair, for those 18 months, he didn't really take a lot of bumps, though.
That's fair.
He definitely did that.
The only bump he took was the only bump he took was giving the Scorpion Death Drop to somebody.
Yeah. We're swinging that fucking bat at the NWO.
Yeah. Well, he ain't taking bat. He ain't taking a bump swinging a bat, brother.
No, that's fair. And you, but you know, he wasn't tan enough, brother.
Yeah, that's it. He looked too pasty.
Like Adam Cole, apparently.
Mm-hmm. He looks like he should be bagging my groceries. I mean, okay.
Fuck Hulk Hogan for that bullshit. Motherfucker can't even pick up a bag of groceries right now. Broke out.
Back in my day.
Let's keep in mind that, you know, for what was it? In 2015, when before he wrestled Seth, he had three other matches. Triple H at WrestleMania, The Big Show on a Monday Night Raw, and then a tag team match with John Cena versus Seth Rollins and Big Show on the same Raw. You know, I mean, literally a week before Night of Champions. So, I mean, dude was not like ready to take that much. But yeah. So where was I here? All right, Money in the Bank. Let's back up now. So did we talk about Ronda and Shayna winning the WWE tag team titles?
Yeah, I think we did.
Okay. Well, of course, so now the champions, great, love it. And now they're going to be apparently having a unification championship against the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions.
Yeah. I mean, upcoming. I guess, yeah. I mean, when they originally made those women's tag titles, they were supposed to go across all brands, including NXT, and then after a little while they were like, you know what, we got like seven teams in NXT right now, let's go ahead and make some tag titles, brother. And then after a while they're just like, yeah, you know what, let's go ahead and not do that anymore. And
well, they broke all those tag teams up, or they sent them up to the main roster, so,
and then broke them up. Yeah, so
between call-ups, releases, and breakups. Yeah. You don't have as many tag teams in NXT.
Yeah.
So sounds like Ronda and Shayna are going to be the unified tag team champions.
For a long time to come, I would think. Yeah.
Probably so.
So we finally got an answer to Braun Breaker's challenge. Rollins has accepted, and they're gonna face each other next week at NXT Gold Rush. So it'll be Rollins versus Breaker for the NXT championship. Wesley is gonna defend his North American championship against Tyler Bate.
With Mustafa Ali as the special referee.
Yeah, that's interesting. Number one contenders match, a triple threat match for tag titles. And yeah, Dana Brooke versus Kurt Jade. So yeah, that's going to be an interesting show. And this past week, Nathan Frazer defeated Noam Dar for the Heritage Championship. The Heritage Cup. So kudos to Nathan Frazer on that win. He's doing so bad for being taught by none other than Seth Rollins. Is he the only graduate from Rollins' school that's in the WWE?
I want to say somebody else, right? I'm trying to think. I thought there was at least one or two others.
I'm looking it up.
We're Black and Brave graduates.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any in. Jesus Christ. It doesn't actually have anything about graduating people. Hilarious. So yeah, maybe. Maybe if their website will actually load for me. There's Colby. Nope. I don't see anything on their website. So I guess
nothing about graduates, huh?
Yeah,
interesting.
Go fuck myself, okay. Then.
All right. So then he's the only one. All right. I also past Monday night they kind of teased a thing with Finn Balor and his former student, JD McDonough.
Don't make Google my name.
Don't Google his name for real. JD McDonough, and I don't know. Yeah, like you guys said earlier, hints of things to come, maybe. Who knows? But yeah, I'll ask the question again: is JD McDonough the only person trained by Finn Balor currently in WWE?
No, Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch.
Oh, I forgot about the man.
That one was easy.
I know, right? Like, only one of the biggest stars in the fucking industry.
You did not need to Google that one. I like how smart you guys are.
Holy shit, Vicky Dice was trained by Seth Rollins?
Oh, okay. I didn't know that he was a Black and Brave guy.
Well, hot fucking damn. Vicky Dice?
Well, good for him. Where was I?
Black and Brave and JD McDonough.
Yeah. Okay, so all right. Let's talk some business. Creation window with Fox and NBC Universal has come to an end. So now they're open for business. Obviously, NBC and Fox are, you know, they have already deals in place through 2024. That they have time to still make a deal. But apparently, there are other people who are slightly interested in the daily programming, and that will be Disney and Amazon Prime. Disney specifically has announced that they're looking to take ESPN out to the streaming world. Of course, ESPN be so sports heavy, and it's kind of hard to be able to give 2 to 3 hours in uninterrupted on any specific night, because you never know what sport or tournament they have going on. But apparently, Disney does have plans with FX. And so apparently, what they're thinking is if they can come up with a deal with WWE, they could put their programming on FX. From what I hear, FX, not much, but is in slightly a few more million homes than the USA Network. Not a big difference, but enough to say, hey, we're in a few extra more homes. So it would not be a downgrade. And of course, you're partnered with freaking Disney, so who knows what that could bring. And Amazon Prime, they paid billions of dollars for NFL. I'm not sure how much that's done so far. Obviously, there's a big difference in people who are going to watch football on Amazon time and pay $120 a year for that versus being able to watch it on the regular cable. But yeah, so we got NBC Universal and Fox, and then we have Disney and Amazon Prime on the outside looking in. Your thoughts of where you think should be the best place for Raw and SmackDown, and will they get more money, or as much or more money as they currently have? Nick Khan expects them to definitely increase their pay.
I mean, it's time for Uncle Tony just to bring everybody to the Turner Broadcast Network and just have wrestling on Turner Networks every single night of the week. So that's where they're going to go.
They're probably just going to stay put on USA.
And Fox?
I don't know about Fox, but I don't know. We'll figure SmackDown out later. Maybe the USA.
I mean,
who knows?
SmackDown on FX doesn't sound too bad.
I mean, it could work. If Disney now, buys it, can I get my network on Disney Plus? That's all I care about.
No. Network stays on the Peacock.
Why? They wouldn't have the rights for it.
No, oh, they would have for a couple more years. Through, that's I think, right. 2025.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a separate deal. The rights for the network is completely separate from the TV rights. Now, I think that I did hear that I thought was interesting is AEW doesn't have exclusivity on Warner Brothers Discovery. Which means there could be other wrestling on the Warner Brothers Discovery family. So I thought that was a little interesting, although I'm sure TK would probably ask, hey, we don't want the competition here. But they also do not have the stroke this man has when it comes to those kind of things. Apparently, Vince, I heard, well, not necessarily Vince, but WWE is requesting other venues not to book the competition in their venues, I think within 2 weeks of WWE having a show there. So.
Good.
That was an interesting tidbit.
But, yeah, it's a little strange.
But yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, I like the Disney deal. I mean, Fox is Fox, and a lot of people have been watching Friday nights, but sometimes there's a couple times that they've gotten bumped. I think FX is a channel a lot of people are already familiar with. Also, FX is a little bit more for mature audiences. With the type of shows that they have on their lineup, so that could bring a little bit different type of programming when it comes to the presentation of SmackDown. So, Aura, I don't care which one, but I mean, and just because you're with this, just because Disney wants to put them on FX doesn't mean that they can have an ESPN special, an ABC special, an ESPN show special. Whoa. What was that?
That was very exciting music because you were talking about something exciting.
There you go. So, I mean, to me, being partnered with Disney would be huge. But, yeah. I thought the NBC Universal deal would lead to something Universal Studios never did. Maybe Disney will do something. I don't know. But on one of the theme parks. But we'll see. Lots happening there. Lots happening there. So let's see. What else do we have? Money in the Bank. We've covered that. They still haven't announced anything for the Great American Bash. So we get the big rush. Yeah. Not that much more news out there. In the world of professional wrestling. But let me ask you guys this. So the Bloodline. We've seen where we've gone here. Jimmy's got to make a decision. Will Jimmy fall in line? Jimmy already told Paul Heyman, "Hey, if I'm in the in the Bloodline, you're out." Jay, that's, yeah, sure. Jay. I mean, still can't tell the difference. All right, whatever.
If you can't tell the difference, you're just not paying attention at this point.
Jay's the one with the short hair.
Yes, and has been for 3 years.
Yeah. Okay. So you took the haircut for me to figure this out. So Jay told Heyman.
Took one of the Bellas getting bigger boobs for us to be able to tell them apart. So it makes sense. Jimmy just needs to go ahead and get breast implants and we'll be able to tell them apart better.
So Jay tells Heyman, if I'm in the Bloodline, you're out of the Bloodline. Is Jay going to fall in line or is he going to join his brother?
Jay's going to be the one that thrones Roman Reigns. I've been saying it for 2 years.
But Dusty. But Cody has to finish his story.
Nobody gives a shit about that story. It's done.
Well, the chapter's done, but the book's still to be finished.
He's doing his own thing. He's got other things to worry about. The story began with Jay versus Roman. The story's going to end with Jay versus Roman.
And where do you think this is going to happen? SummerSlam?
Maybe.
Going to happen at Road Wild, brother, in Sturgis, South Dakota.
That has not been a thing in a long time.
It will be again.
I don't even think NXT travels that far.
And we're gonna get us some bikes and we're gonna ride up there and watch the show.
Last time I was on a bike, I broke my elbow and smashed my head into a tree. So no, thank you.
Yeah, but you don't got a pedal on this one.
So yeah, I don't have to pedal on that one either.
Pedal to the metal. All right. So speaking of people going back to NXT, I saw Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo.
Nobody said anything about anybody going back to NXT. We were talking about riding motorcycles. That's what we were talking about.
Let me leave my segues, all right? Garza and Carrillo, which I still don't know how much I like that name. Because that's not even his real name, I don't think. Return to NXT.
They were still employed.
What would they call Latin lovers?
Los Lotharios.
Sounds. Yeah. I mean, that definitely. I mean, going to NXT is definitely better than the unemployment. Oh my gosh, Humberto Carrillo is his real name.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have made a better name. But yeah, so that adds to so that brings us to 4-5 people that have been sent back to NXT. You got those two. You have Corbin. You have Ali. I feel like I'm missing one.
Dana Brooke is back in NXT.
Oh, yeah, Dana Brooke.
She should have never left
NXT.
Maybe not. No. But she got drug up there because her friend Emma did, and then she got hurt, and Emma continued.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, they're Emma, wanting to make it a third got, brand.
Engaged. Yeah. So kudos to Carmella. What's her name?
We literally
did say her name like
nobody helped him. Nobody.
Oh my gosh. I really cannot remember her name anymore. It's not Angelina. Emma, that's it.
It was not Emma, no. It's not who we were talking about.
Isn't that her name? Isn't that her name?
She hasn't been Emma in some time.
She's Emma again.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that shit.
She's in WWE.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
She's not the one we were talking about, though.
No, but did you see me change the subject to Emma getting engaged to Riddick Moss? Keep up. Okay, how about Rhea Ripley's title looks almost the same as Rollins's?
And Asuka's looks almost the same as Roman's. That's what they do. The women's title and the men's title reflect each other. They have since they dropped the winged eagle belt. The butterfly belt and shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's that title's still not growing on me yet.
I like it.
Give it time. It's only been there a little bit. People don't like change.
Okay. Speaking of changes, so we found out why Alexa Bliss hasn't been wrestling lately.
We already talked about that. She was on The Masked Singer and had skin cancer and all that stuff.
And she's pregnant.
Yeah. She is pregnant.
All right.
Yeah.
Way to go, Ryan.
Yeah. Mr. and Mrs. Cabrera are expecting a baby. So we will not be seeing Alexa Bliss for a while now. So.
Is that the Oscar curse?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because she was teaming with her before she got preggers.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys make of this whole thing with Kevin Owens playing the angry guy?
He's always played the fucking angry guy.
I love it.
Yeah, but he just seems like
he's either the angry guy or he's kind of the jokey asshole. He's always kind of angry, though.
Yeah, but lately he's been extra angry.
Well, I mean,
it's trying to offset Sammy, though. Sammy's a little more fun-loving, kind of go with the flow. Kevin's got to be the bad cop.
I would be tired of people interrupting me, too, if I'm just trying to have a conversation with my friend and these random guys kept walking up.
I will definitely say it does make it entertaining.
Why do they keep having conversations in front of cameras, though? Like, if I want to talk to my friend, I don't want cameras there.
Fourth wall, brother.
Yeah.
But there isn't a fourth wall because this is an actual sporting event.
Mm-hmm. So we have something I can't remove. Anyways, all right. Yeah. All right, so last but not least, I just saw a tweet saying that Punk has been announced for Toronto, for Collision in Toronto.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, they're giving the show at least 2 weeks, so it's good.
Yeah. Hopefully it's back-to-back weeks because you never know how long he lasts. You never know. It's like, book him while you can. I can't. He doesn't have anybody who dislikes him on the show, right? They did that on purpose. I just can't remember.
Yeah, it's essentially the whole gimmick. It's like they tried to put disagreeable, you know, people who didn't like each other on opposite shows.
He is so smart. I mean, they are so smart.
That's why Thunder Rosa is on Collision.
Oh, so they added a new date. Broomfield, Colorado on September 27th. So we have a whole gap between London, All In, and so let's see, the last... The last, the last Collision scheduled is August 12th in Greensboro. And then the next Collision after that, actually, no, I'm sorry. I misread that. That's Rampage. That's that got added after September 27th. So we don't have anything else on the schedule after Greensboro. Oh, look at this, though. Wednesday, August 23rd. Duluth, Georgia.
For Rampage, Collision, Dynamite, what is it?
It'll be a Dynamite Rampage.
There's no Phil, I'm not going, so.
Let's see here. Definitely no Philip. I see a Hook.
Nope.
I see a Jungle Boy.
Nope.
I come on, man. Pillars.
Darby.
Nope.
Pillars, man. Come on.
Swerve.
Nope.
Tony Storm. Adam Cole. Ed Orange Cassidy.
Nope.
Jericho.
Nope.
MJF, Adam Page,
nope.
John Moxley, Chris Statlander, Kenny Omega, the Young nope. Bucks,
nope.
Bryan Danielson, who's that guy that just wrestled Jericho? Ricky Starks, and, the Scissor Me people, whatever.
Is that the poster for Who's There, or is that?
Yeah, it's a poster.
Poster for the announcement, yeah.
Yeah. The final stop before AEW All In. So this is the go-home show.
It'll probably make you want to go home, so.
It's 20 minutes from my home, and I probably won't go, so.
Yeah, yeah. This is it's closest to you, Danny, that's for sure.
I know, right?
Tickets go on sale July 7th.
I'm already going to a live wrestling show this year, so I can't go to that. I'm sorry. I'm out.
Which wrestling show are you going to?
Going to Raw.
Oh, that's right. I'm sitting like right behind you or right in front of you.
Fine.
I can't remember which one.
You guys can hold hands the whole time. That'd be cool.
No, I'm going with somebody.
Yeah, still hold hands with somebody.
You can still hold hands with Eric. You have two hands, okay? And hold hands with the person you're going with and him.
I got the whole world in my hands.
Who are you going with, Patrick? Is there anybody I know?
Tanke. He's the guy from MLA. I don't know if you ever met him.
No.
All right. Okay. So before we go, let's quickly kind of take a look at, because we haven't really talked about this, the Scenic City Invitational happening July 15 and 16 or 14 and 15. It's one of those dates. Don't quote me exactly, but you think I would know. Let me double check here. Yeah, it's that next. It's literally a week from today. July 14th and 15th at the TWE Arena. So I'm going to give you some matchups here, and I want to see if you guys, well, if you know who these people are, and give me some picks. See who you think I will move on to the second round.
And man, first, Shug's winning it. That's all it comes down to. It doesn't matter who goes where, Shug's winning it. Okay.
Well, of course, but calm down. Tank versus Timothy Thatcher.
Timothy Thatcher.
Yeah, I think Thatcher over Tank. I mean, Tank doesn't take a lot of pins, but I think he's going to take one from Thatch.
Shug D, of course, is going to defeat Jaden Newman. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. Alan Angels versus Bobby Flacco.
I think Bobby advances. Everybody loves Bobby. He's over like Rover.
I got Angels because he's a Celtics fan.
Yeah, I was going to say Angels. I think he's coming to prove something.
Angels likes my tweets. Action. So we're friends.
Yeah, there we go. Action Mike Jackson versus BK Westbrook.
Action Mike Jackson's going all the way to the Final Four.
I'm not sure.
And then Shug's going to make him tap out.
No way.
Action Mike Jackson's like the 60-year-old guy from Alabama who's like this tiny skinny dude who people like.
Oh.
Yeah. He's to Alabama with George South is to North Carolina.
I've never heard of him.
Yeah. All right. Sawyer Wreck versus John Way Murdock.
I like Sawyer.
Yeah, I'm going with Murdock on this one. All right. Eli Knight versus Landon Hale.
No clue who either of them two
are. I completely stand called drink, so we'll go Eli.
Yeah, I mean, Eli Knight is one half of the Action Tag Team Champions, right? Still?
Yeah.
Of course, Dr. Landon Hale coming back from the, you know, I think he's somewhere northeast, so he's coming down. But yeah, Eli Knight. I think he's got it. Shasta McKenzie versus Adam Priest.
I have no clue who either of them are.
You don't know who Shasta McKenzie is?
He butchered that very badly. I do know who Shasta McKenzie is.
And Adam Priest we've seen before.
Have we?
Yeah.
Adam Priest, two-time action champion.
He looks like Crash Holly.
The current action champion.
I got Shaza.
Yeah, Shaza, baby.
I'm going with Adam.
It's a shame.
Noah Hosman versus the man called the one called Manders.
I don't know any of them.
You know Manders. Come on now. Don't play like you don't know anybody. Manders worked AWE. He's a big cowboy guy. Throws the lariat and does the fucking Oklahoma Stampede and shit.
Pretty much. Was he there for that?
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. He was there a few times.
Doesn't ring a bell. But if you say I've seen him, I believe you. My brain don't work good.
Yeah. You have. Yeah, I'm going with Manders, Sam. Manders all the way. But like I said, like you did, he said, I agree. Shugdi all the way. The 2023 Cynic City Champion. You've heard it here first. Tickets are still on sale. If there are a few tickets left, I mean, this is at the TW Arena. Usually they have it at a high school or middle school gym. This year, it's going to be at the TW Arena. So it's a smaller space. You know, tickets are limited, but it's going to be a great show also. I don't know if it's going to be aired live on IWTV, but eventually it will be on IWTV. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. Of course, that whole weekend, you know, you got TWE the night before on July the 13th. And, you know, also Action Presents the Future Showcase Tournament on Saturday afternoon on the 15th. They're starting to announce names for that show. So, yeah, big weekend for, you know, for the Cynic City Invitational in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'll be there somehow, some way. I still haven't figured out, but I'm definitely going to make it down there, up there for the show. But I can't wait. And, yeah. So with that being said, that's it for tonight. Let's see what happens over the next week or so. All eyes on the Forbidden Door. I'm sure we'll have lots to talk about the first episode of Collision this Saturday and much more. So make sure you subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Amazon Music, Spotify, and follow us on Twitter machine at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at Danny F. and Danger. Who's on Twitter? Eric's on Twitter at EJ423X. Mika's on Twitter at Mika Villas. We miss you, Mika Villas. I'm on Twitter at YellowmanPA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.